The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Solomon's ancestors. Yo.
Yo, what's up, son?
What's up, kid?
What's going on, kid?
Yo, man, I'm just doing my thing, man.
The New York Times side, staying alive was no job at second hand. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to, low goose. Only way I begin the G.O. was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son, rolling with this one and that one.
The Wu-Tang Clan on another Friday. We're back. We're guessing the lines. I got Jonah Jordan with me. What's up, Jonah Jordan?
Oh, nothing much. Just getting woken up and ready. I'm glad the Wu-Tang Clan is getting me ready for this day, though. It makes me so happy.
I am glad the Wu-Tang Clan gets me ready for any day. It puts me in a better mood. When they tell me about how much cash rules everything, it makes me feel so much better. So, yeah, I'm glad. Oh. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad we're doing this. This was a lot of fun. We had a good time last week, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool. I've got some plans for this podcast to maybe do some different things with it, possibly. I know I just ordered some audio equipment, so hopefully it's going to sound a lot better in the coming weeks. So we've got some big plans. I'm excited for where this is going to go. We've certainly had fun with it. Especially once basketball season starts to roll around,
oh, yeah,
we'll start having even more fun with it. We might call up some different guests, you know, who knows. We'll definitely have some big plans coming. We're excited about where the thing's going. You ready to go ahead and guess the lines again for another week?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Let's do it. All right. Stanford, Washington. I had Washington -3. You had Stanford -4. So I was doing some research on this game, just trying to give an educated guess on this one. Stanford over and over again is disrespected by Las Vegas for whatever reason. They are not in on David Shaw or Christian McCaffrey year after year. Their lines, especially away from home, a lot of disrespect going on, and that's kind of what led me to my -3. Honestly, if I hadn't done any research, I probably would have been about right where you are. But it is actually
Washington -3.
What's that?
Are you trying to say I don't do any research, Chip? Is that what you were saying?
No. That's not not at all what I'm insinuating. Although I wouldn't blame you if you did. I mean, it's more fun just to guess. But I do very minimal research. You know, it's not like I'm doing anything too crazy. I just very minimal. But basically, that's a trend I noticed. Stanford on the road gets zero respect. So what'd you come up with, or how'd you come up with -4?
Well, I rolled with Stanford because I haven't watched a ton of Washington, even though I've seen them get hyped so much. And I've watched a lot of Stanford. I really enjoy watching them playing. I'm rolling with my guy, Christian McCaffrey. I just thought they're really good. They beat UCLA last week. They got me that backdoor cover, which was awesome.
Shout out to the backdoor cover.
I thought maybe 4 was too much. I thought it would be around a field goal or more. I can't believe Washington is favored.
I am a little bit surprised at it myself. Well, I'm surprised that it is much as it is. It is Washington -3. So I actually hit this one exactly. Basically what Vegas is telling us by that is these two teams are the exact same. Like we have them, if they played on a neutral site, this would be a pick-em game. And they give Washington -3 because they're at home. That's what home field advantage is basically worth. Did you know this, Jonah? I believe this is true. Christian McCaffrey has not scored a touchdown in a true road game in his career.
Really?
I
did not
know
that.
I think I saw that somewhere. So does that make you? What is your feel on this one? I stayed away.
I think I'm gonna take Stanford because,
okay.
I mean, it took an overtime for Washington to beat Arizona last week. Arizona is not a good football team, even a little bit. They're maybe one of the worst teams in Pac-12.
Yeah,
I'm rolling with Stanford. I feel like Vegas is hating on them for whatever reason, probably because they're a running team and they don't really throw the ball all that often. I'm here for their adult formations with like 40 people on the line and just pounding the ball. I'm rolling with Stanford.
It is amazing, right, how David Shaw just kind of picked up right where Jim Harbaugh left off. Like, he just puts a bunch of dudes on the line of scrimmage and makes it happen. It's fun. I enjoy that.
I don't know who doesn't enjoy that.
People that hate football.
There's not such a thing.
Those people don't exist. So just as of note, has Stanford only played 3 games? Is that right? If they've already had their bye
yes.
week? Okay, so yeah, so Stanford is actually 3-0 against the spread, and Washington 2-2 against the spread. They've lost their last two. They were 42.5-point favorites against Portland State. They won by 38. And then you mentioned the Arizona one. They were 17-point favorites and ended up winning by 7. Stanford on the mean end. Like, they got the backdoor cover against UCLA. They have covered against Kansas State and USC. So good start for Stanford, who literally gets zero respect. I don't get it. I like them. I would think that especially the gambling public really like Stanford. You think
I'm gonna roll
it's a white guy thing? We love Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it's because they don't throw the ball. I think that's got them. And, I mean, they haven't scored over 30 points this season. They don't put a ton of points up on the board. They're only allowing, what is that, 36? So, hold on, I'm doing math real quick. It's going to take me a second. They're only allowing 12 points per game this season. I really like them. I don't understand. I'd really like to talk to somebody from Vegas to see what the deal is on this one. Maybe it's because they haven't played anybody that's really good. Kansas State isn't spectacular, and USC isn't either. And I know you love your boy Rosen down at UCLA. Yeah, they've just played three mediocre teams.
Yeah,
they played
right.
three mediocre
teams. No, you're right. Washington is clearly the best team they've played.
Yes. But I think Stanford's probably the best team Washington's played, too. So I'm guessing
Definitely.
They didn't know what to make of it, and they just rolled with home field advantage.
Yeah, that's it. They basically just said, you know, these two teams are pretty much equal. We'll give Stanford we'll give Washington the home field advantage. And really, it hasn't moved. It was up to 3.5. It's back down to 3. That's basically where it's at all week, so. I get that one. I hit that one exactly, actually. Let's go ahead and do UNC and Florida State. Go ahead and get that one out of the way. Florida State is going to be a pretty heavy favorite. I had Florida State minus 10.5. You had it minus 16. It is 11, Florida State minus 11, so I get that one. So actually, I went to Rio, obviously, and we were joined by a group from North Carolina. And the guy that I covered basketball with down there, he's obviously from North Carolina, big North Carolina fan, and he was telling me how good this team was going to be, how good this North Carolina team was going to be. So he was very hyped up about the season. You know, they've had a couple of really good seasons down there. North Carolina's not really known for their football, but they've done well relative to expectations, I feel like. Larry Fedora is a massive individual. Have you seen the guns on that guy?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Go Google a picture right now of Larry Fedora. That guy is absolutely jacked. And the only reason I know that is because Tennessee was close to hiring him when they hired Butch Jones. But he's done a good job. So you see it? You got it? You Googled
oh
it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Dude, it's Jack. You can, if you look hard enough, you can even find one on the beach, like with his shirt completely off.
Oh, yeah, no, that's the one that came up. Good Lord.
That's the one you got. Good. So this season, North Carolina is 2-2 against the spread. 3-1 overall. Where'd you come up with 16?
North Carolina. I've watched North Carolina once this season. It was against, I think it was
probably
against
Georgia.
In that Georgia game I watched. Yeah, I watched them. I wasn't particularly impressed. They did almost beat Pitt this past weekend, but their other two games are against Illinois, who may never be good at football ever, and JMU, who's nobody. I just haven't been impressed with them this season from the little bit I've seen, and when I'm not impressed with a team like that, I went with Francois and Cook, even though they haven't had the best season right up to this point. They beat Ole Miss, but that loss to Louisville was big. And they beat USF last week.
What do we make of Florida State?
I think they're good.
What are we to make of them? Yeah.
I think they're good. They're just not going to be the best team in the ACC. They're not better than Clemson. They're not better than Louisville. I think next week we're going to see how good they really are when they play Miami. That's going to be the barometer for them.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. Any chance in your mind that Jimbo Fisher bolts for LSU?
If LSU settles for Jimbo Fisher, LSU fans should be disappointed. That is
really?
Yes, because they can do so much better than that, I feel like. Like, why not go get Lane Kiffin? Why not go get – I would be going after Tom Herman with everything I have right now. Everything. I'd be putting every resource. But I don't trust their athletic director really to make the right hire or even a good hire. Jimbo Fisher would be fine, but it wouldn't impress me at all. I mean, it'd be fine. That's the best I can come up with that.
So, yeah, I don't disagree. I would say the thing that's good about LSU is you're the only major program in your state that produces a lot of high caliber Division I football players. And if you look at like Jimbo Fisher, he's having to compete with Miami and Florida State and South Florida and like Central Florida. I mean, you know, there are just so many Florida schools that are usually pretty good at football that it makes it a little bit tough. And obviously Florida produces, I think this is true, I think they probably produce the best Division I college football athletes. I think Texas and California, I'm sure they produce more just because they have more people. But there's a lot of speed and a lot of talent that comes out of the state of Florida. But there's a lot of competition for it too. LSU, that's it. I mean, they can really put a wall around Louisiana and basically just take the best players that they want every single year. Because a lot of those kids grow up as LSU fans.
Yep. Well, what you've seen over the last since last December is Memphis has been getting in there on some LSU kids, or not LSU kids,
yeah,
but Louisiana kids that LSU may not have wanted. And they're really good. Like, the kids they pass up on are still really, really good. So, I mean, they've got, like, a factory going down there. Like, I guess the best example would be John Pop Williams, who's a wide receiver at University of Memphis. He's not necessarily playing right now, but I've seen the kid in practice, and he may be the second-best receiver on the team. So, Ed Orgeron's keeping their recruiting together right now.
Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't be mad if they rolled with my guy Ed O. I love Ed O. But I'm on the Ed O train. I'm on the Ed O train till I die. But if they bring in the right guy that can keep that wall up, they're going to be good for another 10 years.
Oh yeah. I mean, LSU is set up to be good. I mean, I think it's one of the 10 best programs in the country. I mean, it really is. And we've kind of gotten sidetracked. I mean, obviously, we were talking about this Florida State North Carolina game, but I really think that, like, Jimbo Fisher is one of the guys they should call and just say, you know, hey, do you want this job? Because if not, fine, we'll go hire someone else. But I think he'd do really well. I really do. I think Lane Kiffin would do really well. I think Tom Herman would do really well. I think that they have a lot of options open to them on who they can go get, and they're probably going to make a really good hire. Tom Herman is the most interesting one because, like, USC could open. I think Tom Herman is actually from California. He's a California guy. He spent a lot of time, obviously, now in Texas. So if that Texas job comes open, Charlie Strong, he's going to have a lot of options for a lot of top 10 programs in the country. I don't know that he would even choose LSU.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot like the situation with Justin Fuente, I think. Like, I don't think as many jobs we think are going to open up this summer as – well, we think a lot of jobs are going to be open this summer right now, and we're going to get there, and it's not going to happen. And that's what happened last summer.
Yeah.
Justin Fuente was getting there, and it was like, oh, maybe Oklahoma will open, maybe, which Justin Fuente would take in a heartbeat. That's the job he wants. That's what he's working towards. And he ended up going to Virginia Tech because Virginia Tech's an okay job, but it wasn't necessarily the job he wanted. It's a better job than Memphis. It's a step up in the recruiting or the ladder. But and I think the same thing's going to happen with Tom Herman maybe. Maybe he makes a jump too soon. He seems pretty smart, and he has that 5-year contract right now at Houston, and he gets a crazy amount of money if they get in the Big 12, which is a whole other conversation. But here's a question for you, Chip. Who does Florida State hire if Jimbo Fisher jumps to LSU? How good of a program is that?
Florida State's a good program, and I think it's probably an attractive one to coaches because, like, if you're a Florida State guy and you kind of ride with them and you have good success, like, they literally let Bobby Bowden hang around forever, like way longer than he should have hung around. So I think that there's a lot of administrative support there at Florida State. They've obviously had success in the past. They've obviously, you know, they've won national titles. They've had amazing football players because that's just what happens when you're in the state of Florida. You get really good players. As far as a name, I mean, I think they could probably try some big names, but it feels like Florida State's one of those where they'd have to go hire, not that they would, but just as an example, like a Mike Norvell type, like a coach in the rising the ranks, basically. Like a guy that's had success at a non-Power 5 school who's really on the come up. I mean, I guess to a degree, Tom Herman kind of fits that. But Houston, I mean, like Houston is going to compete for a playoff spot this year. Like that's a really good football team. You know, they're a little bit different. They have a Power 5 feel to them. But someone like that, someone like a Fuente last season, you know, I don't – off the top of my head, I couldn't rattle off a ton of names. But you know what I mean? Like someone like that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not so much an established guy like, you know, whoever, like some of the names are around. Like I don't know that they could go hire Tom Herman. I don't know that Tom Herman would want the Florida State job or he'd feel like that's good enough. But, yeah, it's a really good job. I mean, it's one of the 25 best jobs in the country for sure.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think they could maybe get somebody like – I think Les Miles would absolutely fit there, and that's who I was wanting you to say because I love the idea of him down doing stuff down in Florida.
No, I did think about that.
Okay, so what's the next one?
Les is going to get a job. Well, it depends. I'm saving the Tennessee, Georgia, and the Memphis, Ole Miss ones till the end, because there's not a lot of very good SEC games this week. So we've kind of got them sprayed all throughout the country. So let's just go ahead and do Oklahoma, TCU. We're talking about Oklahoma and Fuente. So you and I were both way off on this one. I just happened to be slightly less off. So I had TCU -3. You had TCU -10. It's at TCU. Oklahoma not looked good. Bob Stoops, I think, is in a decent amount of trouble at Oklahoma. He's kind of been on and off the hot seat the last 3 or 4 years. And if Oklahoma loses this one, you know, they've already lost an early game. I wonder if that Red River rivalry coming up to Oklahoma-Texas is like a loser-leave-town match, kind of like the Auburn-LSU game was last week. We both had TCU favorite.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this, but go ahead. Sorry, I was interrupting you.
Yeah, no, it's Oklahoma -3.5. I already have placed a bet on TCU plus 3.5.
As if I.
Not only is it the wrong team favored, it's 3.5. That is an amazing number if you feel good, because you're getting more than a field goal. How many games do we see decided by a field goal or less, and you're getting the hook with it? I think that is probably one of the best bets you can make all week. And I think wrong team favored, don't you?
Yeah, I don't understand the rationale behind this one. TCU has lost one game to a good Arkansas team that took them – it took them to double overtime. Then they beat Iowa State and SMU. Oklahoma has lost to Houston. Houston killed them. It was never close.
Yeah, destroyed them.
It was. I think they got some garbage time points to pull it in within 10. And then they played Ohio State, and it was never close. That game was never within doubt. Urban Meyer ran them up and down the field, killed them. Their defense isn't good. Kenny Trill's going to have a field day behind that line. I think you're right. We're going to see our next Loser Leaves Town match, which I'm so excited for. Red River rivalry, Texas, Oklahoma. And Bob Stoops is not going to come out on a good end of that, I don't think.
Oh, no, I don't either. But it's so weird. Like, Charlie Strong, I thought, was safe. Like, he got the big win against Texas. Like, finally feels like they've turned the corner. Texas football is back. Charlie Strong is, you know, flexing his muscles on the sideline. Like, everything is good.
They were lifting up in the air.
Yeah, they were lifting up in the air. It was great. The guy's wearing his burnt orange. All of a sudden, you turn around and you lose to Cal. And not a good Cal team. Like, Jared Goff does not play football at Cal anymore. So I don't know what happened, but he's right back on the hot seat. He is a bad loss or two away. We do have the Red River rivalry. It's next week. It's October 8th. So I can't wait. That's a great Loser Leave Town match. Ooh, it's an 11 a.m. game, too. Those are always weird. 11 a.m. are always freaky.
Oh, man.
That Memphis-Ole Miss game last year was an 11 a.m. game.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? That was my first game
working
for 247. I was so nervous. Oh, my God.
So those are weird. We'll see. I'm very excited. I kind of hope both teams lose this week, and so we can go into the Red River rivalry on a true Loser Leave Town match. And it's very plausible, by the way. Texas plays at Oklahoma State. They could very easily lose that game. And I think,
yeah, I was just looking at that.
If I had to gamble on it, I think that probably – TCU is going to beat Oklahoma. So I was just looking at it, though. TCU, so far this season, they lost their first three games against the spread. They beat the spread last week against SMU, but I wonder if that – or excuse me, 2 weeks ago against SMU. I wonder if that kind of – no, it was last week. It was last week against SMU. Yeah, I wonder if that kind of skewed things a little bit and kind of turned it back in the favor of Oklahoma, but I just don't get it. I don't think Oklahoma is a very good football team. So
I think this is my
favorite bet of the whole week.
Yeah, I think I went a little high because I have no respect for Baker Mayfield either. I've watched him for a while now. I'm particularly not impressed with him. And then on top of that, I've watched a lot of their defense. I think I've watched every Oklahoma game this season. Their defense just isn't good. They made Greg Ward look like Michael Vick. I want to know what happens if they play Lamar Jackson. It would probably be even worse than when they played Florida State.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Don't do that to poor Oklahoma. Don't put him on the Lamar. Lay with Lamar 2016 tour. We're going to get to that. I am so fired up about Lamar Jackson. But yeah, this is probably my favorite bet of the week is taking TCU plus 3.5. Doesn't mean it's going to win. Good bets lose all the time. But getting 3.5 at home with a good team is always a good bet. Doesn't mean you're going to win it. You lose good bets all the time. But that's one of my favorites. So I do get that
you
one.
You want to see?
So I've won the first three. Step your game up, Jonah.
Real quick. So my favorite stat that I've seen so far this year, Baker Mayfield has 21 carries. Can you guess how many rushing yards he has?
I'm going to guess there's a minus sign in front of it.
No, he only has 4. 21 carries for 4 yards. His long is 11. So there are some negatives in there, but oh, my God, that's awful. Okay, on to the next game.
Hey, real quick, was Katy Perry, was that the one, Baker Mayfield, was that she said call him on College Game Day or whatever? She said call me to Baker Mayfield?
I think it was.
Was that the right guy?
I think it was.
I think it was.
Too. Yes.
So at least he's got that going for him. Congratulations, Baker.
His girlfriend was not happy about that, I don't think.
Well, I can't imagine that she was. I imagine Baker Mayfield was, though. Wisconsin is going to travel to Michigan. This is the one I was pretty far off on this one. Wisconsin, really good defense. Michigan, good team. I don't know. I mean, listen, I have the utmost respect for Jim Harbaugh. I think we'll learn a lot about both of these teams this week. But Wisconsin has beaten LSU, which in hindsight, maybe not the best win. LSU, obviously, incredibly talented football team, but there was something weird going on with them this year. And then, you know, they got the huge win over Michigan State where it looked like more than anything, Michigan State just laid an egg. Like, that is not typical of a Mark D'Antonio coach football team. Mike D'Antonio, what? Mark D'Antonio, right? Mark D'Antonio.
It's Mark. Mike is the basketball. Mark is the football.
Yeah, my gosh, sorry. I went to Grizz Media Day this week, and I've got Mike D'Antonio, I guess, on my mind. Yeah, Mark D'Antoni. That is not the typical trademark of a Mark D'Antoni coach football. Mark D'Antonio. I don't know. I'm going to stop saying it. I've got to stop
Just the Michigan State head coach.
The Michigan State head coach who's amazing, and I love him. Anyways, I'm done. I'm done trying to say his name. So they got a big win. It looks more like Michigan State laid an egg more than anything. But Wisconsin has a really good defense. So I had Michigan. I tossed it in the Vegas zone, Michigan -5. You went ahead and gave Michigan a full touchdown, and even you went low. It is Michigan -10.5, so you get that one. That's a huge, huge number. Even, you know, a lot of respect for Michigan, but that is a massive number against a really good defense in Wisconsin.
I'm all in on Harbaugh and this team. I love their quarterback. I love Jabril Peppers. Anybody who doesn't love Jabril Peppers needs to never talk to me ever. He's awesome. It's just Harbaugh's – this team is nasty. This is what people were expecting when he came to Michigan, and it's finally coming to fruition. I have Michigan in my playoff, like my tentative playoff projection. So far I have Michigan in there, and I think they're going to – Wisconsin's got a little lucky. LSU was overrated coming into the season. Then Michigan State laid a huge egg last week. That was so disappointing. I think we jinxed them a little bit because we hyped them up so much going into that matchup.
Yeah,
I think Michigan's going to win by more than a touchdown.
Really? So, okay, so
yeah.
You feel comfortable laying 10.5?
Oh, yeah, very comfortable.
Wow. Wow. That's a big number to lay, because 10 is a perfectly reasonable football number. And then to get the hook, it's a stay away for me. I'm not going to touch it. But, hey, Michigan, 3-1 this season against the spread. Only loss was to Colorado. By the way, Colorado, good football team. Sneaky good football team, Colorado Buffaloes. So Michigan beat them by 17. The spread was 17.5. So basically Michigan right there on the cusp of being – that's what I'm telling you. You got to get those hooks on those football scores. That's a prime example of what I'm talking about. You get that hook on a football score, you never know what's going to happen. But, yeah, Colorado, sneaky good football team. Wisconsin is also 3-1 against the spread. Yes. Oh, no. My gosh, I'm looking at the same thing. I don't know what I've done. I'm looking at Michigan twice, so I'm really having a tough morning, Jonah. I don't know if you can tell.
Just it's too much. It's a lot coming at you at once. It's technology, which you're not good with. It's funky names, which you're really not good with.
Yeah. You start giving me a lot of Italian names and technology. And I don't know what to do with it all. I freak out. So this is stay away from me, but you're going to go ahead and lay the 10.5, aren't you?
Yeah, I already did.
Okay.
Michigan's one of the best teams in the nation, and I'm still not sold on Wisconsin even a little bit.
Fair enough. I don't disagree. Like, they impressed me, but you know, it's weird. Like, they've got two good wins, but for whatever reason, I just don't even feel comfortable saying they're a really good team.
They would have to beat Michigan for me to be sold on them.
I agree. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it to me, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So in one of our favorite teams to talk about this season, to gamble on, Louisville is going to travel to Clemson and take on the Tigers. The Lay with Lamar Tour 2016 rolls into Clemson, and they're going to play the Tigers. And I could not be more excited about it. We both had Louisville as a favorite. I had Louisville minus one. I almost made this a pick'em game, but I went ahead and gave Louisville 1 point. You gave Louisville 3.5. If we had recorded this podcast yesterday, you would have won because it was Louisville minus 2.5. It is bumped down. It bumped down to Louisville minus 2. So I actually am going to get this one barely. I mean, literally by half a point.
I need all.
I know. I know. Man. I was just checking it before the podcast, and it bumped back down.
I was.
How you feeling about this one?
Okay, so I'm going to tell a little story. So last night I was at a friend's house, and I was talking to her brother about football, and he was telling me how much he loved Lamar Jackson. I was like, and he gambles on sports too, and he's all into it. And I was like, look, dude, me and Chip laying with Lamar all season, been making money, hasn't let us down yet. And he's like, I'm
all
getting in on that.
Yep. Yes,
I was
he
like,
has not let
you
us down
need
yet.
To get in on that. Everybody needs to get in on this. Everybody.
Absolutely. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Listen to this. Here we go. Louisville, 38.5 point favorites against Charleston. They crush them by 56. Anyway, they destroyed it. Louisville, 17-point favorites at Syracuse. They win by 32. Louisville, 1-point favorite against Florida State. No, excuse me. Yeah, one point underdog against Florida State. They made Florida
yep.
State the road favorite against Lamar Jackson. He won by 43. They make Louisville a 30.5 point favorite. Lamar says, I'm going to make you sweat, but I'm going to win by 31. He's amazing. He's incredible. We're riding with Lamar Jackson over here.
Then we lay on top of that. He's been so good this season. And then Clemson's defense has been talking a whole bunch of ish this week about how they're going to body slam him, this, that, and the other. Good luck with that. I hope he hurdles all of you on his way into the end zone.
Hey,
hope he's dropped 60.
Hey, Clemson, catch him. Catch him first.
Yeah, exactly. Like, their defense is kind of nasty. I'll give them credit there, but good luck.
No, Clemson's awesome. I'm so excited for this game. Don't talk crap to Lamar, though. That's I don't know. That seems like a really bad idea. Which, by the way, we should also mention. So Louisville is 4-0 against the spread. They're also all four games have hit the over. Clemson is 2-2 against the spread, but all four games have hit the under. So something's going to give there. Normally I would say just ride with the over, but I don't know. You know, I ride with Lamar against the spread, but I over-unders always scare me. You really get into
yeah.
those. I stay away from them.
I love over and unders. And this for me is a stay away because Clemson's offense has been just not good this season. They've only had really one impressive game against South Carolina State where they put up 59 points. And they even struggled against Troy. And Troy isn't good. Like, that's not a good football team. They only put up 26 points on Georgia Tech last week. I'm not overly impressed with Louisville's defense. It's not been like their strong point, I guess you'd say. They pushed around a bad Florida State offensive line earlier this season, but I'm not impressed. Deshaun Watson looks off. His receivers are there. I mean, they're good. He has one of the best receiving corps in the nation, I would say. They're all healthy, and he's just not looked impressive.
No, and I will say Louisville's offensive line, they're going to get a huge test. Like, Clemson's defensive line is really, really
yeah.
good. And this is one of those where we're really going to find out what kind of football team Louisville has, because I am all in on them being good. Like, I think Lamar Jackson is the type of quarterback that can single-handedly carry you into the playoffs and could even win you a national title. I mean, he's like, this is like Vince Young stuff circa 2006. I mean, he's been incredible. Is there any part of you that's worried that all of a sudden the calendar is going to change to October and Lamar Jackson's not going to be good anymore?
No, I don't think – I'm not worried about him not being good. I'm worried that maybe defenses are going to see what he's doing, see what Bobby Petrino's doing and kind of keying it in once the schedule gets more difficult. Like, this is a tough game. Like, Clemson's offense hasn't looked good, but as you said, that defensive line is nasty. Like, they're not playing around over there. So they go to Clemson. They could absolutely lose this game to Clemson, but I don't think they will. I'll be blown away if they put up more than 30 points from this Clemson team. I still think they're going to win. But then, I mean, he goes to Duke. I'm not worried about him not looking good against Duke, NC State, Virginia, Boston College, Wake Forest. They do play Houston this season, which is their one remaining game against a good team. And then they play Kentucky to end the season, which is a big rivalry game. But maybe these defenses will stop him a little bit, but the schedule is in Lamar Jackson's favor. A good deal.
No, that's right. You said it. Like, he plays Houston, and that's about it. I mean, I want to go on a 30-second rant here about Duke. So I, as kind of a rule of thumb, if David Cutcliffe is getting a really good number at Duke, I always bet it. Like, I think I took 7.5 against Wake Forest or something like that, and they ended up losing the game. I didn't know what to do at Duke. They got me 2 weeks in a row. And at that point, I'm just like, okay, you know what, maybe Duke, they're having a down year, rebuilding, Cutcliffe, never know what to do. They were getting 21.5, I think, over 3 touchdowns at Notre Dame. Any other year with David Cutcliffe, I ride with that. I'm like, yeah, of course, it's David Cutcliffe getting 3 touchdowns. You take that every time. And so, but this year I just said, I'm out. I got to stay away. I can't let Cut do this to me again. We'll pick it back up next year. Then they go out and beat Notre Dame. They beat Notre Dame as 3 touchdown underdogs. And now, once again, I have no idea what to do with David Cutcliffe. I'm still staying away, but I've got my thumb on the pulse of Duke football. I love David Cutcliffe so much. I've got my thumb on the pulse.
They lost to Northwestern. They've lost my faith for the rest of the season. I can't bet on you. They lost me that Northwestern game. It was part of a parlay I would have won had they beaten or just covered against Northwestern, and they couldn't do it. I was so mad. I'm so mad at Cutcliffe right now. I can't even look at it. I can't even think about it.
Yeah. That's still my guy. I don't know. We'll see. They've got Virginia and Army before they play Louisville, and you know I can't go against Lamar Jackson. So we'll see. Maybe by the time he plays Justin Puente against Virginia Tech, we'll be back. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think of
Army this season?
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious because they started out 3-0. Yeah, I mean they started out 3-0. And then they lost to Buffalo in overtime. But they've looked really good. They've looked better than any Army team has ever looked. I think part of them losing was they lost a member of their team in a car crash. And they looked kind of
– That's right.
Kind of struggled with it. Yeah. But they've looked really good. They beat Temple, who was supposed to be good coming into this season, Rice, who whatever, and UTEP. They killed UTEP. I think they could beat Duke. That's a pick next weekend against Duke. Saturday, October 8th. We'll talk about it next week, but I'm marking that down on my schedule.
They've even got a bye heading into Duke. So, yeah, who knows? I honestly thought you were joking. Hey, Chip, give me your 2-minute rant on Army football. Well, I don't know. I didn't know what you wanted me to say. I thought you were joking. But who knows?
No,
Army
I can't
really
believe
good.
You're not – Yeah, I mean, not really good, but they're confident. They've only thrown 29 passes this season, but and then run the ball 276 times for 1,500 yards. But, I mean,
that's amazing.
I've watched them a little bit. They're fun. Army, I'm telling you, Army's going to beat Duke next weekend. I'm saying this now, hoping nobody's going to remember this when Army gets blown out by like 50 points. But watch it. Watch for it.
Oh, this is great. You know, I pride myself on finding like weird college football teams that are good. Like, I feel like I was the first person that was in on Bowling Green last year. I'm sure I wasn't, but I felt that way. I felt like I was the first one to discover them. So I could not be happier right now that you know that Army is 3-1 with only throwing 29 passes in four games. That is amazing.
I mean,
to me. Thank you for that. Hey, maybe we'll start riding with the Black Knights, maybe.
I did not know their mascot was the Black Knights until 2 seconds ago. So I'm fine.
There you
Let's
go.
Do it.
So they're off this week. Yeah, this is good. So they go at Duke, and we can kind of have like a loser leave town gambling wise match against Duke. If Cutcliffe wins and destroys them, we're back riding with the Dukies. If Army
yep.
wins or covers the spread, we're riding with the Black Knights, baby.
I'm all in on this idea.
This is exciting. I cannot wait. So let's go ahead and let's jump to Tennessee, Georgia. We'll save Memphis, Ole Miss for the end. Tennessee, Georgia. You know, I'll just go ahead and give the spread. I'll give what we guessed, what the actual is, and then I'm going to let you talk about this game because I am. I don't really know what to say. So. I will start. I gave Tennessee -7.5. You said Tennessee -14.5. It is Tennessee -3.5, and that scares the ever-living crap out of me. So I will let you talk about this.
Georgia's not good. Georgia is not good. And what I saw in that second half, again, I was sitting in the press box sweating Florida, Tennessee. And I know you, wherever – you were up in Nashville sweating it. We were texting back and forth a little bit. And
yeah.
It came out in that second half, and they did exactly what I've been waiting for them to do all season. Derek Barnett was in the backfield every single play. They weren't letting that – I don't even remember Florida's quarterback's name. They weren't letting him get off passes.
Appleby.
If he were, they were incomplete. Yeah. That secondary, which was getting a little burned in the first half, I think Martin was especially because Sutton's down. But, I mean, that's what they should have been doing all season. They finally got fired up. It finally looked like Derek Barnett came out and said, look, we're not doing this anymore. We're dominating this game. And that's what I think they're going to do against Georgia. And if they do that against this Georgia team, it's going to be bad because I don't know if Nick Chubb is playing. Jacob Eason is not good at really. He's struggled this season a little bit. Not yet, at least. He's had some freshman moments. I shouldn't say he's not good. That's unfair. He's had some really good moments, but he's also a true freshman playing with a bunch of people who, you know, aren't necessarily the level of talent Georgia probably wants. And they lost 45-14 to an Ole Miss team that could lose to Memphis this week. So I went 14.5, and I'm surprised that I'm not shocked that I lost it because I went too high because I was a little coming off that Florida win. I was all in on the Orange and Butch Jones, but it's just Georgia's not good, and UT is. UT's really good. I know people, they've been killed in the rankings a little bit because of the not starting hot against Virginia Tech or struggling against Appalachian State, who is actually a good football team. But people need to start respecting Tennessee. They've got their next three games are going to be really tough, and I think they could win all three of them.
Yeah, I do too. I actually do too. I am, I don't know. So here are my concerns. One, what kind of hangover does Tennessee have from the Florida game? Because listen, like I was, this has been well documented. I was 12 years old the last time Tennessee beat the Florida Gators. It was
insane.
I was elated to say the least. I mean, I could not have been more excited. That is a massive monkey off the back for Tennessee, because I think that, you know, there's been a lot of turnover, obviously, the last 12 years. Like, no one that beat Tennessee, or no one that beat Florida 12 years ago is still on the roster. No one that coached against Florida 12 years ago is still coaching at Tennessee. There's obviously tons of turnover, but I still think there's something to the fact that, like, you look across that field, you see the Florida Gators, and you're a little bit intimidated. You haven't beaten those guys in forever. And then you come out and you drop down by 3 touchdowns. And, I mean, it looked bad. I thought Tennessee might get run off the field. And I thought that game, had that happened, would have indirectly resulted in the firing of Butch Jones. Like, the fan base would have turned. I think a lot of boosters would have turned. Obviously, they weren't going to fire him. Butch Jones, the era was done. It was just a matter of time. And guess what? They came back out in the second half. They reel off 38 straight points before Florida finally gets a touchdown at the very end. And they win. They get the monkey off the back. They beat the mighty Florida Gators. And you said it. Like, Derek Barnett was the best football player on the field. He decided that he was going to dominate the second half. And he can do that. Derek Barnett, if he wants to, can be a top 5 pick in the 2017 NFL draft. It'll be him and Myles Garrett basically battling for number one, whoever the quarterback is, Deshaun Watson or whatever.
Yeah. There's a reason people compared him to Jadeveon Clowney. I think it was not last season, but the year before. He's a junior, right? Maybe it was last
season. He's a junior,
people
yeah.
said this kid. People said this kid's the next Jadeveon Clowney, and we hadn't seen that yet this season. And then he came out and was, oh, he was so good.
He's unblockable.
Him, Shy Tuttle. We haven't seen anything yet from my guy Khalil McKenzie, who could probably stop a 18-wheeler with his hands if he wanted to, but we're going to see something from him soon, I think. That there's no reason. We've talked about the amount of talent off-air that Tennessee defensive line has. There's no reason they shouldn't dominate every game they're in.
No, you're absolutely right. And they finally did. They decided that's what they were going to do, and they did it. And it was a big win. It's a big win for the program. It's a big win for Butch. It's a big win for those players.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought something that was really cool, too. You see, Juwan Jennings scores a long touchdown. Josh Malone scores a long touchdown. Jalen Hurd played well. Derek Barnett played really well. Todd Kelly Jr. got an interception. All of those names that I just said are from the state of Tennessee. I mean, it was Tennessee boys playing for Tennessee and beating Florida. And it was really cool. Like, it was really cool to watch. But now you have to leave the state of Tennessee for the first time this season, and you have to go between the hedges and play the Georgia Bulldogs. And it's not a great Georgia team, but it worries me. And it worries me that this spread is only 3.5. I thought it was going to be higher. I had 7.5. You had 14.5. If you had told me that Tennessee was a 12-point favorite against Georgia, I would have said, okay, like I believe you. But there is something to be said for, you know, this happens in the NFL all the time. You get the team that gets the huge win, and then you get the team that is desperate coming off a big loss, and immediately you think, oh, the team coming off the big win is going to crush this team. But never doubt the more desperate team. And I don't know that Tennessee is the more desperate team. I certainly think they're the more talented team. But I don't know that they're the more desperate team. And that worries me a little bit. I'm going to lay the 3.5. I think Tennessee should win by a lot more than that. But I wouldn't blame anybody for taking 3.5 with Georgia. Would you?
No. I mean, I took Tennessee already as part of a parlay, and I'll probably take them separately. Because you know how much I love parlays. But, like,
that's
I'm reading about Chubb. Yeah, I'm reading about Nick Chubb right now. He hasn't practiced this week. They don't think he's going to go. And their second rushing leader behind that is Brian Herrien, who has 184 yards this season.
What does Sony Michel have?
Sony Michel has 23 carries for 106 yards and zero touchdowns. So if they can't throw the ball against Tennessee, which I don't think they'll be able to, I think that defensive line's going to come in there and destroy them. I don't know.
Tennessee plays like they do in the second half the rest of the season. The only game they could lose is the Alabama game.
Alabama.
They're more talented than everybody else. they will beat everybody else, and that Alabama game will be a coin flip, to be honest with you. I mean, it will truly be a coin flip game because that's how talented they are. They could win a national title playing like they played in the second half, but they play like they did in the first half against Alabama, they'll get run off the field.
Yeah. Real quick, I got two stories from Saturday about the Tennessee game. So after the game, I think I sent it to you, the picture of Jennings in the Gator boots.
Yes. Amazing.
I love everything about this Tennessee team. I love Alvin Kamara. I love Jennings. I love their third-string quarterback, who is apparently like a team leader who's in everybody's faces. He got in Dobbs' face on the sideline. He was in Dobbs' face on the sideline during the Florida game. I was like, I love these guys. And then, so my brother is a huge Tennessee fan, and he was at the game on Saturday, Snapchatting from the game.
Yeah.
Y'all's fans were leaving at halftime.
They were booing, too.
And then I'm booing Butch. I was completely prepared for the week of fire Butch, bring back Lane Kiffin, or bring back whoever, do this. I'm so glad he won that game. I think he's going to end up being really good. I love Butch. I'm just glad. Now move past Florida. Beat Georgia by 2 touchdowns for me. Please, Butch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can do it. I really do. I think they can. I also think they could very easily have a massive hangover and find themselves in a fight in Sanford Stadium. That's not what you want. Because Georgia is still good. Like, they are still a really talented football. Mark Rick did not leave the covered bear for Kirby Smart. And it's a rivalry game. You know, anything can happen. Tennessee fans don't like Georgia. Georgia fans don't like Tennessee. A lot of the players Tennessee has are from the state of Georgia. There are a lot of rivalries that go on within the game. You got to go take care of them early. Get up early, let Kamara and Hurd run the ball. You know, let Josh Dobbs run the ball. Let Josh Dobbs throw the ball a little bit downfield. You'll be fine. The defense should be fine. I really like what I've seen out of Baylen Buchanan. He's just a freshman. His dad was Ray Buchanan, played in the league for, I think, a decade or so. He's a freshman cornerback. People say he's as good as Cam Sutton. I like what I see. Derek Kirkland is not going to play this week, but I believe Jalen Reeves-Maven is. That's a huge get. And you think about that. Tennessee did that for the most part without Cam Sutton, without Derek Kirkland, and without Jalen Reeves-Maven. I think that is super impressive to me. Anyways, we'll move on. Any last thoughts?
I was really – people gave Colton Jumper a whole bunch of crap over the last 2 or 3 weeks. My brother even.
It kind of deservedly so.
He hasn't been. But he came up really big for them in that Florida game a couple of times where he looked really good. So shout out to Colton Jumper. I just wanted to give him a quick shout out.
No, that is a very good point. Deservedly so. He played his butt off against Florida. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. Like, that's another kid who's from the state of Tennessee. His dad is a big UT booster. You know, he's grown up a big Tennessee fan. I'm sure that meant a lot to him. So, it was cool. Yeah, it was really just cool to see most of the key players in that game. They were from the state of Tennessee. But, you know, going into this week, like Josh Dobbs, he's from Georgia. Alvin Kamara, he's from Georgia. They've got tons of guys on this roster that are from the state of Georgia. You know, they want to beat the Bulldogs just as bad as those Tennessee guys wanted to beat Florida. So, should be fun. I always get nervous as crap watching Tennessee play. So, this 4-week stretch, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. They got, A&M next week and Alabama in 2 weeks. So, Memphis has their biggest game of the year. They're playing the Ole Miss Rebels. We were kind of right in the middle of this one. I had Ole Miss minus 17.5. You had it at 10.5. It is 14.5, and it's kind of sat there all week, although it is starting to, the way that they are working it looks like it may even start to jump up to 15. But it probably won't jump a whole lot more than that. It should hover right around 2 touchdowns. Obviously, Memphis got a big win last year. I did a Q&A with the editor of the Ole Miss student newspaper. And the first question he asked me, he said, I'm sure you've gotten this question a lot, but is this Memphis team as good as the one last year? And I my response to that, I've been asked that a couple of times, is, well, basically the question you're asking is, are these Memphis Tigers as good as arguably the greatest team in school history? And I think you have to answer probably not, but they're not far. They're not far from last year's team. And I guess the two biggest discrepancies would be Riley Ferguson has been really good, but he's not Paxton Lynch good. And yeah. Justin Fuente is an absolute wizard coaching football. And while Mike Norvell's done a great job, don't get me wrong, he hasn't had to be great. Like, Memphis has just been more talented than the three teams they've played so far. So I guess we'll really find out in-game coaching, game planning, where he is this week. What do you think? I mean, like, is this Memphis team as good as they were last year?
No, they're not. They're not, just because of the fact losing Fuente is one thing. It's fine, and they replaced him with Norvell. I mean, that's I don't think that plays a major role in what they do, because I think the support staff around Norvell is better than anything Fuente ever had, and that's showing. And that makes a huge difference, and I think that kind of makes up for them losing Fuente. You're right, we haven't seen what Norvell can do or has. They still haven't opened up the playbook yet because they haven't had to. So
right.
That's one part of it. And then not having Paxton Lynch is just far and away the difference maker. Like, no, they are not as good as an offensive this year, but that defense is so much better than it was last year, and it's showing. I mean, they only gave up 3 points to a bad Bowling Green team, and Bowling Green did miss a couple open throws, but their secondary is so much better and noticeably better and noticeably more confident than they were at any point last season, and it's going to make a difference this Saturday. If they stop Ole Miss from running the ball, which I think they can do, because Ole Miss has struggled. They don't have Jordan Wilkins. They can't put the ball on the ground. If they force Chad Kelly to throw, Ole Miss is in trouble. I know they have some big receivers, very talented receivers, but if Chad Kelly has to throw 40-plus times in this game, Ole Miss is in trouble.
Yeah, I think there is something to that, because that was one of the questions that was also asked to me as well, was, like, where do you feel – like Memphis has an advantage on both sides of the ball. And you look at statistically the Memphis Tigers defense, and specifically against the pass, it is one of the best in the country. I think they're allowing 4.4 yards per throw or yards per attempted pass. That is the second best in the country behind Baylor. And they've picked off the second most passes of a team that has played only three games. They've allowed one touchdown pass and picked off seven. That is incredible. I mean, Arthur Maulette has been great. Jonathan Cook has been great. I mean, you could go down the list and list four or five guys that have been incredible in that secondary.
Arthur Maulette has
been fantastic.
Arthur Maulette and Jannard Avery have looked like picks, like NFL guys that deserve to go in like top three rounds of the NFL draft. Jannard Avery is gonna play in the NFL one day, and he. A bunch of these guys on what people don't realize is a bunch of these guys on this Memphis defense and well on the offense got recruited by Ole Miss and ended up never getting offered by Ole Miss. And they take that personally. Like Sharif White, the middle linebacker, this is a game for him. Jannard Avery, this is a game for him. Joshua Perry, like, he hasn't played a ton this season, but he did get recruited by Ole Miss and picked Memphis over them because his cousin goes to Memphis. But, like, these guys get recruited by Ole Miss and then get offered. Like, this is the game for them. Like, Anthony Miller is looking forward to Houston because he beat Ole Miss last year and he hates losing to Houston for the past two seasons. But, like, Daryl Henderson has this game circled on his calendar he got recruited by them. He hates Ole Miss now because, I mean, they didn't offer him. His family's from Mississippi. He's from Mississippi. Like, this game means a lot to this team. Ole Miss is acting like they don't care or whatever, whatever. It's not about revenge. It is. I don't care what they say. They made this game their homecoming. It's going to be a good one.
Well, I completely agree. What's the final score prediction? What are you feeling?
um It's gonna
go. Let me ask it this way. Let me ask it this way. You comfortable laying 14.5 with Ole Miss, or are you grabbing the 14.5?
For Memphis. I don't bet on Memphis. I think I've said that last week for a variety of reasons. But if I were to, I would take them plus 14.5 this week.
Okay.
I have – right now I have Ole Miss winning 41-35. But I could easily be convinced into having Memphis win that game.
Yeah, they the Ole Miss newspaper people, they asked me for a score prediction. I said 38-24 Ole Miss. But like I don't know. Like I really do not know. If you told me Ole Miss won by 5 touchdowns, I'd say okay. If you told me they won by a last second field goal, I'd say okay. If you told me Memphis won, I'd say okay. I don't know. I really do not know.
Yeah, and we don't really know how good either team is right now. Memphis, for reasons we said, and Ole Miss, they've lost to two games to Florida State and Alabama. Alabama's really good. Florida State was kind of playing out of their minds that game, and they had some Ole Miss had some bad breaks. And then they went to Georgia and just crushed them. So I don't really know what to make of this Ole Miss team yet either.
Who knows? That's it. That's all the games we got picked. Do you want to spend like 3 minutes talking about this Grind City Memphis thing, Grind City Media?
Did you get a chance
to read that from Chase Lucas?
I read most of it, yes.
It was, he did a good job. Chase did a great job. You should absolutely go read that at grizzlybearblues.com. And then Joe Mullinex last night had on Chase. It's a lengthy podcast, so I've not had the opportunity to listen to it entirely. But I started it a little bit last night, and I'll finish it up today. Basically, the Memphis Grizzlies, they started their own media company. It's called Grind City Media, for those who aren't prepared or aren't familiar with what we're talking about. And basically what they're going to do is they're going to cover the Grizzlies internally, I guess. It's still – like I read everything. I will go back and listen to the podcast. I'm not totally sure what it is, but basically my understanding is they're going to cover the Grizzlies. They hired Chris Vernon. They hired Michael Wallace from ESPN. They've hired a couple of more people to do some kind of social media work, to do some video work. I know Alexis was there doing a lot of video work at Media Day. It is interesting, though, the landscape of media. And it's something that obviously you and I have to kind of have we have to have a good read on, because this is a field that we'll be diving into in the next year or two full time. And it is so strange to me, the transition that journalism is in. No longer are the days where you go start at a smaller newspaper a couple of years, you go start off, then jump to a small-time job at a bigger newspaper, and then maybe become the beat reporter for something. And then maybe your last few years you become the columnist, and then you retire. That was kind of the old-school way of doing things. And that's just not how it works anymore. I mean, it's just not. I mean, guys our age are getting jobs, big-time jobs, online, because online social media has transformed the way that people consume media. And this is just another evolution, because you look, the guy that actually owns the Boston Red Sox also owns the Boston Globe. And that is, some people would say, a clear conflict of interest. Now you're going to have guys like Chris Vernon, who's going to be having his radio show through the Memphis Grizzlies, but he says he's going to be objective about it. You read some of it. Like, what did you make of what Jason Wexler and Chris Vernon said?
Well, I think that I have a lot of thoughts on it. I think it's a cool idea.
We'll spend as much time as you want.
It's a very, very, very cool idea. Right now, I don't think has had the best execution. Like, I love Chris, and there are legitimate concerns about working for an organization like the Grizzlies in a media capacity and not being able to say some of the stuff he used to say about them. Like, I think my main concern right now is that I think it would be a waste of Chris's talents to have him on a radio show that's going to censor him. Like, I don't want to listen to censored Verno. But it seems like they're going to let him kind of do his own thing. It's weird, though. It's kind of like they're trying to control the message that they send out, or maybe curb some of the stuff that people put out about them, because we know a bunch of people in the media, and we know guys who cover the Grizzlies, and we have inside sources, and you know, you don't, whatever, dude. So I think it's a bit to curb that, and it's a cool idea. I think Alexis is really good. Michael Wallace is fine. And I think they're, and Amara Baptist, who they got to run their social media account, is awesome.
Yeah.
So
she seems awesome. Yeah.
They're doing some cool stuff. It's just they could have gone about it a little differently. And, like, Vernon getting mad and saying on Twitter and saying, nobody's called. I mean, nobody knew that they should call. Like, nobody knows what to make of this yet, really. But I think it's a cool idea.
Right.
I think once they're going to hire some more people, I have a feeling. And once they do, I really feel like it's going to be cool, because – maybe we can see some stuff like behind the scenes that the commercial appeal can't, or I won't say can't, because won't get, or some stuff that maybe GBB can't do. Like, I think it's a cool idea.
I agree. I think it is a cool idea. I thought one part of it was kind of interesting. Jason Wexler said, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, so I'm not quoting directly, but something to the effect of, have you ever spent 5 minutes with Chris Vernon? Because if you did, then you would know that we're not going to be able to control what that guy says. And he's right. But
yeah, he's right.
I can't help. He's absolutely right. You're not going to tell Chris Vernon what to do or what not to do. And that's what everyone loves about Chris. It's what I love. It's what everyone loves about Chris Vernon. And let me be clear. Chris Vernon has been nothing but awesome to me. He's been nothing but awesome to Grizzly Bear Blues. The Grizzlies have been nothing but awesome. The Grizzly Bear Blues, you know, Jason Wallace, Ross Wooden, those guys have been nothing but awesome to all of us. But this is new. Like, this is uncharted territory, and it's something that is going to, I guess, kind of be figured out just as we go. But I do think there is something to be said for, while they're not going to tell Chris what to say and not say, I can't help but think if there's not a little something in the back of his mind, like, oh, I'm working for the team, so do I tone it down? Like, subconsciously, like, without even knowing it, you know? I don't know, and we won't know until we get into a situation like that, until we get rolling. And I think Chris said something, too, like, 95% of what he does is, and even when he was working for 92.9, it's just to, like, pump the team up. It's just to, like, be an awesome fan, you know, give his opinion. Like, we're talking about a very small portion of it, like maybe 5%. I think that's exactly the what he used. He said 95% is the exact same, and what people are concerned about is, like, the small 5%. And he's right. And I think there was maybe some, a little bit of, you know, we're in the culture of kind of the fake outrage. People get upset about whatever. It's new. I don't think anyone knows enough to get upset and be outraged. And he's right. They should have asked. People should have asked what was going on before they just spouted off on Twitter. But I do think, I wonder, and I'll ask you, like, does it feel to you almost like they're cutting out the independent media?
No. Well, yes and no. Here's problems with that. Memphis's independent media is strange. With the commercial appeal, you have a beat writer who, how do I phrase this without being mean, who has more people blocked on Twitter than more articles he wrote over the summer. You have...
Be careful.
A bunch of people... Yeah. You have a bunch of people, like I've already mentioned it, with sources, with I'm going to go and cover the Grizzlies, and I'm going to break news that isn't actually news or isn't actually a thing. Like, I think that they have some legitimately good outlets like Grizzly Bear Blues, The Flyer, and sometimes the CA, that they shouldn't cut out, and I have no idea if they will, but if they do, that would be very disappointing, because then that's 100% them just trying to control their narrative and their message. And I don't think they will, because, I mean, you know the guys
over there.
I don't think
that's the goal.
No, I don't think that's the goal either. But if that is a byproduct of them starting this, they need to evaluate some things, because that's not the way that it should work. It should absolutely be, yes, you can have Grind City Media and let independent media report and have access. But
right.
That's all I can say on that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. I think that as long as you're doing your thing, but you're also allowing other journalists who are paid to cover the team do their thing, then that's fine. I don't see why the two cannot coexist, but you run into an issue where for whatever reason, you begin restricting access to the media. And to my knowledge, so far, that hasn't happened. And I think the Grizzlies are very fair about everything, and I don't think that will happen. But, like, those are just,
yeah.
You know, they're all possible scenarios that could pop up right now. And that's basically all that we know. And this is something that we can certainly revisit, you know, in a few months when we've kind of figured out what all is going on and we've heard, you know, stories or whatever, you know. We will figure it out. But, hey, I will say, how excited are you to hear Verno on The Ringer?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I have not – so I'm going to be honest here. I kind of petered out listening to Verno as I got – like, I'm busy. It's hard for me to sit and listen to Verno from 11 to 2. Like, there's commercials, there's ads, there's this, there's that. There's guests I don't particularly enjoy listening to. Now we're getting uncensored Verno. There's an explicit tag next to the iTunes thing, which I am amped for. Uncensored Verno with good guests. He can have whoever he wants on for the most part, I think. I think the Ringers had trouble getting people from ESPN. But, like, just imagine him having, like, Holly Anderson, Spencer Hall, any of those guys at the Ringer that cover college football who are awesome. I'm amped for it. I hope he does a little bit of college basketball too. I don't really care about the NFL stuff because NFL's whatever to me, but it's going to be fun, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I really want to say back to the Grind City Media thing, Jason Wexler is the best. All those people over there are awesome, and I think they're going to end up doing a good job with it. I didn't think I made that clear. They're good people. I don't think they're going to end up doing anything too bad with it bad with it.
Yeah.
I think I,
well, I don't think there's any kind of like malicious intent with this. I think that all the concerns are kind of like the unintended consequences of doing something like this. And we'll just see, like, no one knows. We will have to see how it all unfolds. And I'm excited for it. I think that it's exciting. Honestly, to be completely honest with you, all that does is just open up more jobs in our field, as long as it continues to operate like it is. And that excites me, because, like, when Grantland shut down, like, I was depressed for like a week, because I think everyone's ultimate goal, if you grow up in our kind of generation, you want to go right for Grantland, because they were the best and they had a lot of fun doing it. And all this does, like I said, just gives more jobs to people that are looking for jobs to cover sports.
Exactly.
And I think ultimately that is that's a positive. That's a win for everybody. Jonah, thanks a lot for doing this. We'll do it again next week. You got anything to plug?
Just get ready for some Ole Miss coverage. Go follow me @_JonahJordan. I'll be in Oxford this weekend covering the game on site. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, get rid of the underscore. I'm out on underscores.
Hey, go find
the
guy. Okay. We're going to go find the guy who stole my name on Twitter and will not give it back to me, even though he only has 3 tweets, 2 of them directed at me, tell me how he's not going to give my name back. I'm really fired up about that already. I can't get rid of the underscore. The dude stole my name.
Nah, I don't know. Figure something else out. I don't like underscores.
I'll find. I'll
no,
track
I'm
him
just
down.
Kidding. Well, yeah, we need to like pay that guy $5 so he can have your Twitter handle.
I offered him like $5 and he wouldn't do it. I think he wants like $5,000 and I'm like, ah, that's a little much. That's, I'm not that big time yet.
Probably not worth it. All right, Jonah. Thanks a lot, man. We'll do it again next week. We're gonna ride out with the Wu Tang Clan.
Yes.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.